across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, by webcast and by podcast. My name is Howard Hughes, and this is definitely The Unexplained. Well, I hope you're feeling okay. I don't know which side of Christmas you're going to hear this, but I hope you're about to have, or you have had a really good one. We got some bad news before Christmas. London going into Tier 4, as they call it. I'd have to go online and check exactly what those restrictions mean. But effectively, I think the headline is that Christmas was cancelled here. And that's very depressing for an awful lot of people. And of course, very difficult for a lot of families. These are difficult and challenging times for many nations, those in Europe, North America. You know your own situation there. But as I've always said while I've been doing these shows, that my hope is in, what else have we got? In human ingenuity to solve this problem for us and allow us, please, to live our lives again. You know, that's my most sincere hope, and I'm sure it must be yours too. You know, let's get back normal life as soon as we are able to do so. I think has to be the mantra. You know, I want to see the outside world, I think, a lot more than I have done. And it would be nice to travel more than a few miles at a time, I think. But let's leave all that behind. One of the reasons that you tell me, and thank you for telling me, that you enjoy The Unexplained, it is, for both of us, for you and for me, it's an escape from some of the stuff that we're enduring, and a chance to consider things that are perhaps truths that need to be explained, and things that are eternal, that transcend wars and politics and viruses and all the garbage that we have to live through. You know, some eternal truths, one of which we may be about to talk about on this edition of the show. Thank you very much for all of your emails, and thank you for your greetings. I send them right back at you and your good thoughts. Thank you for keeping me going. You can always get in touch with me. Go to my website, theunexplained.tv, created by Adam and run by Adam. And thank you for all of your hard work, Adam. And thank you also to Haley for booking the online guests and to Reese for his work on the radio show. And to you for being there. So the website, theunexplained.tv, follow the link and you can send me an email, guest suggestion, thoughts on the show, whatever you want to do from there. So, the guest on this edition is a man talking about something that we have not really dealt with on this show before. The North American Dog Man. Jody Cook, you might have heard of him already, is from the North American Dog Man Project. They have got hundreds of worldwide investigators, many of them in North America, USA and Canada, but also in other countries like New Zealand and the UK, European countries, Australia. The phenomenon of something that looks like an upright dog that has humanoid or human-like features and behaves like an animal. An astonishing thing. And look, I have a lot of time for stories of cryptids. I think such things do exist. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. And as we get into the conversation, I'll tell my story, which you might have heard before, so I'll keep it brief. I think there may be creatures that are largely unknown by most people, that keep themselves to themselves, that may have varying degrees of aggression. I think it's always an interesting thing. And one of the things that, if they do exist, one of the things that that existence would do for us is show us that maybe we are not as important as we thought we were. You know, we thought we were the kingpins, numero uno, you know, the biggest thing on this planet. Maybe we're not. We'll see. Thank you very much for all of the emails. If you want to email, don't forget, go to the website, theunexplained.tv. And when you get in touch, this is the point of what I'm saying here, please tell me who you are, where you are, and how you use this show. All right, let's get to Ohio in the United States. And we're going to speak about the Dog Man with Jody Cook. Jody, thank you very much for coming on my show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I don't know whether you go along with my comments there about Dog Man and the fact that this is an international phenomenon, although slightly different wherever it's reported.
It is. It's definitely international. We get reports on just about every single continent on planet. You know, this is something that's been going on for years. I mean, if you look at mythology like Greek mythology or Egyptian mythology, Viking mythology, they even talk about some type of dog-headed creature. So this is something that is not really new. It's something that's always been there, but it just never got the recognition.
And the idea of something that has a dog-like physique and a dog-like face, but standing up on two legs and tall, I mean, that goes back to ancient Egypt.
Correct, with Anubis.
So this is all tying into to cryptozoology. And look, you get no arguments for me when it comes to cryptozoology, because I had my own experience. And I think it helps if you've had your own experience as a kid. And I've told this story on this show before. I was out with my grandmother. I was 11 years of age, and I was being taken to the fun fair. In fact, I was being taken home from the fun fair. And we were making our way to the train in a place called Southport in the northwest of England. And I will tell this story, and I will tell it the same way until my dying day, Jody. But I saw, and my grandmother didn't want me to look, what appeared to be a man, but a man with a head that could almost have been like a goat, and he had cloven hooves and legs that looked like they were from perhaps a deer. And he was wearing an overcoat and trying not to be noticed. And my grandmother said to me, "I'm not, please don't look." And I said, "I'm not looking," but of course I was a child and I did. So from that day, all those decades ago to this day, I believe that cryptozoological entities inhabit this world. That's my story. What's yours? How did you discover all of this?
Yeah, I was doing UFO research for quite some time, and we were getting a lot of reports coming in of cryptid, you know, dealing with UFOs. So I decided to go more towards that subject because I found it to be a lot more interesting than UFOs. And I just really fell into it, definitely kept getting, you know, deeper and deeper into the mystery, not just with Bigfoot, but with Dogman, with the Mothman, which is, you know, so many other type of cryptids. Here in Ohio, we have several cryptids. We have, you know, the Dogman. We have the Grassman, which is a Bigfoot. We've had Mothman sightings, and we have what we call the Loveland Frogman, which is an area in Cincinnati called Loveland, Ohio, where they have had sightings of a frog-type man, probably about 5 feet, give or take. And what's so unique about this particular case is that two police officers actually encountered it, and both of them discharged their weapons on it. So it's definitely something, you know, pretty unique to the state of Ohio, having so many cryptids, more than, you know, any other state in the union.
And Jody, you did military service. Your biography says that you were in Iraq, which is, you know, a tough posting. Did anything that you experienced out there point you in this direction?
Not so much there. I've seen some crazy things there. You know, blue lights in the sky. You know, different type of animals, smaller animals that were kind of hard to figure out what they were. But I've talked to several other veterans, British, Canadian, and Americans who were in Iraq and Afghanistan that has actually encountered what you would say was a dog man, but they describe it more of something that looked more like an Anubis, but it was wearing what they describe as like some type of suit or body armor to that effect. So we've been getting stories like this from the military for probably the last year. And, you know, when you get it from American troops, it's like, oh, that's, you know, that's pretty interesting. Then you start getting stuff from the Canadians, and you start getting stuff from the British, especially coming out of Iraq, with the British being in the Basra area, where there was a lot of activity of some strange things going on there. And this is where the British soldiers were actually seeing them, was in right in or out of Basra in Iraq.
And of course, we're talking about people here who are wearing uniforms and are trained observers. They're people who are
correct,
trained to report what they see accurately.
Correct.
So there's something here. There's something beyond the normal. It is difficult, isn't it, though, for ordinary people, if they haven't had these experiences, to actually come to terms with it and accept it. It's fairly easy for people to pick up a newspaper, look at pictures of a UFO and think, well, maybe there is something, you know, that looks like a giant dinner plate that's come from another planet. Maybe that does exist. But the idea that there's something here, or there may be a number of species here on this planet right now that may have been here for hundreds of years, thousands of years, whatever, that is perhaps evolved from the creatures that we have, perhaps something completely different that has a whole mystique around it. People find that difficult to take, don't they? They find it less easy, I suspect, than accepting UFOs and aliens, because we're fed that mythology, that legend, whatever, all the time by the media.
Well, what we found out is, I think that, you know, most people believe that there's something out there. Okay. They believe that there is something that goes bump in the night. You know, there's some type of mystical creature that's out there. 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, people wouldn't talk about it because people really didn't believe it. But now, right, I believe that a lot more people have a more of an open mind to it. And it's like one of these things. Let's say, you know, you took a survey through everybody around the world. You know, what do you believe in? UFOs, Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, whatever. The number one answer I truly believe would be ghosts. Okay. And UFOs come following after that. You know, everybody has had some type of paranormal experience in their life, either with themselves or with a family member. So in that falls, when I say paranormal, I'm not just talking about ghosts. I'm talking about UFO encounters. I'm talking about cryptid encounters. Everybody knows somebody that has had some type of encounter. So people are more open about it. Now, do they accept it? That's the problem. You know, they may not accept it, but they know somebody. And I've talked with people who totally, you know, did not believe anything, that, you know, any type of mystical creature, you know, existed. And they would laugh at people about it until they had their sighting. And now they truly believe that there's something there. I mean, I've dealt with a lot of people like that.
Mm. And this year of 2020 has been difficult for an awful lot of people. I'm sure you've had your lockdown experiences in Ohio, and we've certainly had them here.
Yeah.
And yet my UFO friends, people like Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center and others, tell me that this has actually been a real bumper year for people having experiences, sightings, and encounters.
Right, and I agree with that. I agree with that. But when it comes to the cryptid stuff compared to the UFO stuff, there's a big gap there. Okay. When it comes to, like, you know, people reporting and having actual cryptid sightings is actually lower. You know, the UFO stuff probably is a lot higher because you can go outside your home and stay within your yard and look at the sky and see something, you know, to that effect. So that's probably going to happen more compared to what's happening with people having cryptid sightings, but they are happening during lockdowns.
Right.
So that's interesting.
Now you're a big part of this organization that is gathering more volunteers all the time, I understand, the North American Dogman Project. Talk to me about that before we get into the specific stories in the next segment.
Well, the North American Dogman Project is the largest dogman research organization on planet Earth. We have chapters in just about every single continent. We have two chapters there in the UK. We get reports. We average right around 30 to 40 reports a month. Most of them are a little bit older reports, but majority of them are new reports that sightings that have just happened just recently. So we're getting stuff, like I said, all over the world. But when you take Europe itself, they don't call them dogman there. They refer them as werewolves in Europe, the UK, and here in the, you know, the West, we call it dogman. So, you know, when we get these reports of werewolves, we have to, are they talking about a werewolf? Are they talking about like the Lon Chaney wolfman? So, and we figured it out that, you know, the Eastern Europe and, you know, regular Europe and the UK, that's how they refer dogman to as a werewolf. So we do get pretty much stuff coming from the UK and Europe that's pretty interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff.
How many investigators have you got?
We have close to 800 worldwide. Yes.
And are they similar sorts of people? Are they outdoors people, or do they come from all kinds of backgrounds?
all kinds of background. There's military, there's law enforcement, there's stay-at-home moms, there's, you know, lawyers, there's doctors, there's, you know, businessmen, they're, you know, just regular people that who are enthusiasts of the subject that want to get involved. You know, we do have a large scale of the membership are, you know, regular, you know, ordinary citizens, you know, that just have an interest. And then, you know, we do have a large fluctuation of military and law enforcement around the world that find it very interesting because they have had their sightings and became believers. So it, we're broken up until, you know, like 800 members. So we have members that are researchers. We have members that are investigators. We have members that deal with analytics. So it's kind of broken down, but everybody is getting involved with the organization, regardless if they're a field investigator.
So they're all people who are tempted by the mystery, want to know more.
Correct.
And crucially, as we agreed at the top of this, they've come to the same conclusion that both of us have come to, that there is something in this, we just need to know what, right?
Correct, correct.
And Jody, I think we need to get a definition here. What are the common characteristics? And I know that reports of this creature differ, you know, between areas and between people, but what are the common characteristics?
The common characteristics of Dogman is that it's very wolf-like, very canine-like in appearance. It's definitely a quadruped that is able to walk and run on two legs. Most of the characteristics is obviously the high pointed ears, the snout, the legs were typically dog style legs, a tail. A couple different characteristics that people are seeing is that the arm, the front arms and the hands are more human. The digits, the fingers are a little bit longer in the front. These are basic characteristics that people are seeing of this particular creature. And we have one other one that we get reports on, which is very similar, but the legs itself are more human shape, and that the foot is more human shape, where it has either 3 or 4 digit toes, but all they've always had claw marks. Now we have several pictures on our website of these particular tracks that are very human looking. So they're different breeds, you can say, of Dogman. I think a lot of it really depends on the location of these particular creatures. So is there interbreeding that's taking on that's causing, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 digits in the toes? It could be, or it could just be that particular breed of Dogman. But the basic sighting that, how can I say this? Majority of the sightings are your basic canine, which is very wolf-like in appearance, full body.
Right. And they behave differently, too. I mean, the range of sightings that you've got, some of them seem to be very elusive from what I could divine, and some of them appear to be a little bit more sociable.
I wouldn't say so much sociable. But I would say probably about, you know, 99% of encounters are with aggression. 1% are reports that we get where we have individuals that who say they have had contact with them, they were able to get close to them, feed them. We had one particular case where a gentleman said that he was in contact with a pup of one. He thought it was a wolf at first until he realized that, you know, this thing was quite different because it was walking around on two legs. The front paws and the arms were much different. He would feed it. It would go away, come back. He'd had contact. And it got to the point where he said he was able to pat its head, stroke its ears, stroke its tail, and it would get comfortable with them. But as time went on, it was getting bigger and it was getting a little bit more aggressive. Mm. So he wasn't getting so much contact with it anymore, basically for his safety. But we get reports like that. Every once in a while, you'll get something to that effect. And then you get other reports where people just believe that, you know, they are some type of mystical creature they can communicate with through mind reading or something to that effect, and that they're gentle and just misunderstood. We don't know. You know, we take the reports, we listen to the people, we investigate it, and, you know, we put it into the category in which it needs to be in.
And just like the Bigfoot phenomenon that we have talked about, and I know that you're interested in too, we've talked about it on this program a lot. Around the world, there are different derivations and variations of Bigfoot, from Otang in South Africa to Yowie in Australia to the Yeti to Bigfoot in North America, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call it. There are many reports that I think also persist in the Dogman stories of something that's alike to, similar to telepathy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we get that a lot, believe it or not. And these are the people that sit there and truly believe that these are good creatures, that they're able to communicate with them through, you know, telepathy. I can't pronounce it, but mind reading. You have to forgive me there. But we do get those reports. We honestly get them. And, you know, we value those reports just as much as we do any other report, because who's to say it doesn't happen? Who's to say, you know, that you don't have, you know, dogmen or Bigfoot or some other cryptid that are good? I mean, you look at human society. I mean, we have good people, we have bad people, and we have some that just aren't right, you know? And who's to say that doesn't, you know, exist within, you know, these other creatures? Just, you know, just because they're an apex predator doesn't mean that they're, you know, bloodthirsty. They could be some good ones out there.
And as you say, there are many variations and derivations. There are ones that are black or brown or have stripes. Right. And as you say, the feet or the paws are different in different reports. Some encounters, people talk about telepathy. Sometimes people get near to them. Sometimes they don't get near to them. Sometimes, a lot of the time, you say aggression is involved. Why do you think, you know, if they exist, I think a lot of people maybe who are skeptical about this will be saying, well, if they exist, how have they managed to be so elusive?
Well, you know, the thing of it is, if you go back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, even 50 years, you'll find less and less sightings. Okay. It's just recently, within the last 10 years, we are getting sightings just exploding. And a lot of it is because, you know, development, you know, we're making more homes. We're going, you know, expanding our cities. We're expanding, you know, factories and things like this. So you're going into their territory. So you're starting to see them a lot more. And another thing is, you know, food source. If their food source is gone, they're going to go into residential areas, farms, and so forth to look for food. And that's probably one of the biggest reason why we're seeing them, is because food sources, their food source is scarce. Now, here in Ohio, you know, we have abundance of deer and abundance of roadkill. So, you know, the food source is great here, because Ohio never had black bear, you know, and then all of a sudden we have black bear in, you know, 48 counties because of the abundance of food. They stopped migrating and they decided to save because the food source is here.
So that's interesting. You're saying basically it's not a question of us necessarily finding them. They're finding us because we're encroaching upon their territory. We've got something they want, food being the main thing, and we're taking away habitats from them. So they're drawing nearer to us.
Correct. And we know this through a lot of investigations that we're doing. One particular one investigation that we've done was up in Akron, Ohio, one of the Metro Park districts up there, where the basically you know, deers and squirrels and rabbits and things, the population went tremendously down, and they didn't know why. And now they're getting these reports of the werewolves running in the park. So we know through, you know, the park rangers that we talked to, from people in the area, we know these things are now starting to leave the Metro Park, and they're going into the condominiums across the street, and they're going through the dumpsters in search of food. And they're going after people's pets, because the food source is basically gone now in that Metro Park.
So do you think, Jody, that some of the cases that we hear, I mean, both sides of the Atlantic, of animals, pet animals being seized and disappearing, could be due to this?
Oh, I believe so. We found out on one investigation in Germantown, Ohio, a tremendous amount of dogman sightings in this small community. And we found a church that had a billboard on the side, or bulletin board rather, with pictures of missing animals, where people were putting on, you know, have you seen this? And then we noticed, you know, driving around on telephone poles, there's a picture of a missing cat or a missing dog. Have you seen this? Please contact us. And what other reason would these dogs be coming up missing and cats come up missing is, you know, because there's a large amount of dogmen in this area, and we have proof that they're there. The law enforcement in the community know it's there. People are seeing these things, you know, all the time. So, and they're scared to death because, you know, a lot of these people have small children. They don't want their small children to be out because they're afraid that their small children are going to be, you know, grabbed up by one of these things.
Well, you say that they can be aggressive. Have there been reports of people being attacked by them?
Oh, yeah. We interviewed a gentleman who worked for the Fish and Game for the state of Kentucky, who said that he saw one kill two campers in 1979 at a place called Land Between the Lakes. Now, Land Between the Lakes is one of the very well-known dogman sighting areas in the United States. And there's been a story going for years about a family that was massacred there by a dogman, and it was covered up by, you know, local law enforcement and other jurisdictions in the area. You know, so this story has never changed. And I interviewed six different officers that swore to me that they were there when this incident happened, and they saw the bodies, they saw the trailer, they saw the canine tracks that were there. They saw the hair that was clenched in the one guy, you know, one victim's hand. They saw the body of the little girl that was in a tree, half eaten. So,
dear Lord.
Yeah. So we get stories like this, you know. So there is definitely, you know, something going on. You know, we talk to people where these things have literally tried to get in their home, and they were, you know, frightened to death, you know, of these, you know, these creatures. So it's, you know, they're extremely aggressive. They're an apex predator.
And as far as you know, what is their method of attack? Are they like lions? Do they stalk prey? Do they consider an attack? Or is it something that's much more spur of the moment and perhaps a little bit more frenetic?
Well, see, here's the thing. Majority of these sightings of aggression is one of them. But what we're finding now is we had one particular member of our organization was out on a deserted road with his camper, and he was going to find a place to camp, and something hit on the side of his camper, like something just ran up and just hit on it. So he stopped it, went out and looked. He found the taillight was busted in the back. Then he heard something moving in, you know, the tree line. And this creature comes out, and he's able to see it. But prior to that, he's hearing popping sounds as the creature's going from all fours to two legs. So he's looking at this one particular creature, which he is describing as a dogman, a werewolf. Well, one was getting ready to flank him from his right to come out on him. So they basically, what we're figuring out is that these things are like velociraptors. You know, they let you see one, why the other one gets you, because you're focused on the one in front of you. And this one particular one came out to his right, and he had a 357 Magnum on him, and he shot the thing point blank range in the chest. Gee. And it didn't affect it at all. You know, so he was able to get out of there. You know, he was definitely terrified. You know, so we know that, you know, these things definitely, you know, they hunt. They hunt in packs.
Just like
you
dogs.
May just see, right, just like dogs, just like wolves. So you have to be very vigilant when you're out. And but, if you know that there's one there, there's probably another one getting ready to pounce you from the side or from the back.
Because of the way that they work.
Correct.
I mean, obviously, these things also have varying degrees of human characteristics, though. So far, we've talked about them behaving like dogs. Are there any things that they do that are more like us?
Well, we know that they're problem solvers. You know, we do know that. We actually had one report from a woman that was in Kentucky at the time. She was in the living room with her children, and they were all on the living room floor. They were playing a game. She heard the door open, and she thought, well, maybe it was her husband coming in. And she said this werewolf came in from the front door, came into the living room, and was watching her and her children. And I guess her husband was pulling up at the time. It heard him and ended up leaving. Oh, but she
hang
said,
on, you said it came into the living room.
Yeah, it came in. It was able to open the door on the home. And, you know, she says, you know, I know this sounds far-fetched. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you what happened. This thing was able to open the door, you know, on, you know, my home and actually come into my house. We had one other case where a gentleman was watching TV and his dog was in the kitchen going, you know, total bananas, barking out the back door. He gets up. So he comes into the kitchen and he has a door flap there for the dog to go in and out of. And he said one was coming through the door flap, trying to get into the house.
Gee, almost in a stealthy way that a cat might do.
Yeah, correct. And one other sighting that we had reported to us was two women that were hiking and seen one, and it chased them. So they got into their car and they said this thing, you know, it was a werewolf and it was trying to pull the car door open. It like it knew how the car worked by pulling up on the handle. And, you know, he's trying to jerk it and pull it. You know, so these things are problem solvers. They're intelligent.
So if you have the strength of an animal with the ingenuity of a human, you've got something pretty damn formidable.
Oh, yes, definitely. So, you know, there is human characteristics, you can say, with these things. They're very, very smart.
And, Jody, I think we need to talk, when we're talking about characteristics of dogmen, we know that dogmen are all different. There are different gradations and variations. But there are reports that some of these can do 60 miles an hour and have the capability, in terms of muscle ability, to leap tall fences. They've been seen doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had reports where people have been driving down the roads, going very fast to get away, and this thing was keeping up with them. We know that does happen. We have had several reports. One particular guy was on a dirt bike, and it was chasing him on a dirt bike. And I think you there in Hull, in the UK, there was a sighting of a dog man that actually, the report is that it had a German Shepherd, rather, in its mouth, and it was able to leap over a 8-foot fence, I believe that was in the area, and that was there in Hull. And we have a couple other reports that came out of the UK where these things were able to jump fence. very large fence. Mm. We've had reports here in the U.S. By people that worked on government installations that seen them and were able, these things were able to jump over very large fences.
And the, so some of this stuff is quite, some of this stuff in this country is quite recent. I'm just looking, you mentioned that Hull case. I remember talking about that on the radio. I'm looking at the Daily Mirror newspaper's website here. 2016, residents of Hull have reported several sightings of a, quote, mystery werewolf that's terrified locals and sparked a hunt for the creature. Reports suggest the beast, which is 8 foot tall, is half man, half creature, lurks around industrial estates and has allegedly been spotted, as you said, eating a dog. Some believe it's folklore, something called the old stinker is the legend over here. Wolf that transforms into a man at the full of the moon. Old stinker, traditionally known to wander the Yorkshire wolds. Something we have talked about here before, but this, like we said at the top of this, is an international phenomenon, and they have remarkable abilities. I guess the question that would flow from all of these amazing capabilities and the stories that, we know, or we think we know, is how do we manage not to get evidence, physical evidence of them? How do we manage not to be able to find hair? Where do they go when they die? They don't leave, it doesn't seem to me, but you may know different, a lot of traces of themselves.
Well, the thing of it is, the reason why we don't find bodies is the same reason we don't find, you know, dinosaur bodies, okay, is that Mother Nature cleans up after itself. When an animal dies, it's usually gone within 5 to 7 days. Every single piece of body is either taken off, eaten by other rodents or predators, or just, you know, decay. So we know this. Okay. So otherwise, you know, we're in environments, okay, where the body's going to be gone within a few days because it's not going to mummify and stay preserved like it would in the Middle East, okay? Or in an area that has a lot of sulfur in the ground. Okay, so you're not going to have that. You know, this is why we're not finding remains. And if you find a remain of a dog man, when you see it, you're not going to know it's a dog man. You're just going to think it's a large dog because the skeleton is going to be very similar to a canine. The skull might be a little bit different, but the body itself is going to be very, very much like a dog. And I believe that people mistake, you know, remains of dead dogs as a, you know, or that could have been a possible dog man. And most animals too, when they go to die, they're going to go die in an area where they know they're not going to be attacked by a predator, another predator. So that's part of the thing there, too, why we don't find anything.
You must have given a lot of thought to this question over the years. How is it possible that a species of this kind, in, you know, with all their variations and variants, could have evolved in this way? How is that possible and escaped for a very long time detection by us?
Well, the thing about Dogman, you know, what majority of researchers believe that this is a canine species that's always been here. Most people believe that it's supernatural or even extraterrestrial, but it's a canine species that has been here. Now, we know when you go back thousands of years, you know, we know that there was some type of canine species that people communicated with, traded with, especially in the Middle East. You know, the Vikings talk about fighting a tribe of dog-headed men. The Egyptians, you know, believed in the dog-headed man Anubis as a god. King Lycan in Greece, you know, so there's all this stuff going back history. Even a lot of what a lot of people don't realize is that Saint Christopher was a dog-headed man. There's actual paintings of Saint Christopher in the Vatican having a dog head. And the story behind it is that he belonged to a race of dog-headed men that the Catholic Church fought and killed off. And he was the only one that survived. He was captured and he was t- taught Christianity and end up becoming a saint. Well, people are not going to pray to a saint with an animal's head because that's paganism. So they end up putting a human head on him so that when you look up St. Christopher, you know, he's got a human head, white hair and a beard.
So we think that maybe there was a species, you think that there maybe was a species some time ago, and they were maybe persecuted to an extent, perhaps. And maybe they went on, I won't say underground, but you know what I'm saying, they went into the background, right, into the shadows, and that is where they've remained. They've managed to survive and thrive, but they've done it in an almost clandestine way.
It's a possibility. There's a lot of information, you can say, that kind of leads to that perspective, because what we see today are remnants of what's left of a intelligent species from the past. Okay, that's what we're looking at today. And when a society falls apart, the people fall apart. Okay, they become rogue. They become something totally different from what they were as a society. And so the dogmen we see today, you know, are basically the same thing. I truly believe this. And, you know, have they mated with regular wolves? And, you know, a lot of this are just, you know, offsprings of between a dog man and a wolf. It very well could be.
So this is a sort of, it may be a renegade species that survived.
It very well could be. And like you said, when you look at Europe and you look at, you know, the Middle East and the, you know, stories that's coming out of there, you know, things could be hidden. You know, there's parts of this planet, you know, man has never stepped foot on. I mean, we know more about space and the universe than we know about our own oceans. So the chances of a species hiding and not being discovered, it happens.
I agree. It's much higher. It happens much higher than most people would think. Most people in their nice, safe, suburban lives
exactly
don't think that such things could happen. But just step back for a second. All right, we know about urbanization. We know about the big cities. We know about the burgeoning populations around the world. But there are vast areas of our planet that are not inhabited, that are very hard to reach. You've only got to look at your own country. You know, the United States of America, you have such a vast array of terrain there, and you know there's every kind of climatic condition, so it's actually not as big a stretch as all that, I don't think, for something like this to exist in a place like America and not be seen or detected that often. What about the connection that we talked about just briefly, and I think we need to talk about it a little more, that some people make with these creatures and extraterrestrials? Do you think that is something that stands up?
Oh, yes, definitely. Because here's the thing. We're getting a lot of reports from military personnel, like I said, from the UK, from Canada, from Belgium, from the United States. And what they're seeing are a dog-headed creature, a wolf, basically, wearing some type of either like a body armor or, you know, some type of protection suit that they're seeing in combat zones.
So it's almost, you know, like they're wearing a spacesuit.
Basically, or like a spacesuit, correct. And they're seeing either like a blue flash prior to seeing them or like a blue flash after seeing them. And most of these sightings by the military are not so much up close contact, but they're seeing them from a very close distance. And there's no contact between them. It's just something visual that they were able to see. And, you know, they're looking at these things and they're like, you know, these are dogs, man. They're walking around wearing like a biological type suit. You know, what is it? What are these things? There's one particular case where one soldier said that he actually seen two of them kill insurgents in Afghanistan.
That is astonishing, isn't it? And of course, yeah. if the individual service person goes back and reports that to the commanding officer, that story's probably going to be put in a file somewhere, or not even recorded, I would have thought, because it's just too weird.
It's too weird, and the fact of it is you're not going to have someone report it to the military. Okay, it's just not going to happen, because you know you're not going to get your promotion. You know, you're going to go in front of a psychiatrist. That's going to affect any type of, you know, promotion or advancement. So no one's going to say anything.
Like ufology, people don't report these things. Maybe it's a little easier now, I don't know, but people don't report these things because of the fear of being questioned yourself, and the fear of ridicule and sacrificing job prospects, right, and all the rest of it. I can completely understand that.
Yeah, especially if you're in a professional, you know, area, you know, military or law enforcement, you know, you're not going to say anything. I mean, we get them from the military and law enforcement all the time. You know, they'll, you know, confide in us. But
you think the police in America certainly are covering this up, don't you? That they have their own code words for these things. They don't actually call them what they are.
Right. For Bigfoot, they call it a black cow. And for Dogman, they call it a black dog. So this way, when they write it in a report, or if they do a call over the radio, they'll say there's a black cow in the middle of the road, or there's a black cow on so-and-so's property, or a black dog on so-and-so's property. So this is how law enforcement does it. And we found this out through law enforcement agencies all across the country. Were telling us, and when you have one person from California saying it, and you have, you know, a police officer in Iowa saying it, and you have a police officer in Texas and a police officer in Pennsylvania, and they're all saying it, so obviously they all know, you know, what's going on. They're very, you know, knowledgeable about it. You know, we've talked to law enforcement where the, you know, everybody on the whole department has seen them, but they can't talk about it. You know, the DEA contacted us, a couple agents from the DEA, which is a drug enforcement agency, was on a training mission and saw them, and they were told, don't say anything. So, but they contacted us and told us, you know, but, you know, you have that, you know, where law enforcement, you know, they run into FBI. Perfect example, the FBI, you know, we've had individual from the FBI who have told us that they've seen them on, you know, not private land, but government installations, or going on an investigation that has nothing to do with cryptids, and they came across one, and they'll put it in their report because they're very thorough on how they do things. So they'll put something to that effect. I saw something that looked like this, but I wasn't really sure what it was, you know, type thing. But they're going to put it in a report. So that does happen.
And my last question, unfortunately, because of time, has got to be this. Do you think the scale of a cover-up is any bigger than that? You know, we know that police officers might, just for ease, record these things as black dogs or something, or whatever they might be, black cows. But ultimately, perhaps somebody higher up wants this kept quiet.
Well, I can tell you this. You know, the government has an interest in it.
Really?
Okay, we do know that because we've had several government agencies monitoring our site. I've been to a lecture where the NSA has showed up at the lecture. So we know the government's involved in it. Are they curious about it or what? We just don't know. But they do have an interest in it. And I believe that, you know, the British government has an interest in it, because this is something that's been going on through British history since, you know, King Arthur. You know, it's something that's always been there. So you're going to have people in government have an interest, because it, you know, is it a threat? Is it a threat, you know, to the people? Is it a threat to the economy? You know, so yeah, they're going to have interest in it.
I think they do. Yep. Jody, I'd love to talk with you some more about this, and hopefully we can make a date in the future to do that. Thank you very much. If people want to read about the project and read about you, where would they go online?
They can go on www.NorthAmericanDogmanProject.com. They can find our Facebook page, or, you know, on Facebook. We have a Twitter account. They can go on YouTube. We have some videos on YouTube they can go to. Just put in North American Dogman Project. That's the best way to find us.
Thank you very much for being part of this. We will talk again, Jody. Please take care and try and avoid the dogmen when you're out and about. Okay. Thank you. Take care. Stories from around the world, America particularly, of the dogman, but also here. If you know anything about Old Stinker, by the way, in Hull, we have talked about it sort of obliquely on the radio show, but be very interested to hear more about that phenomenon. Right, that's it. We're out of time. My name is Howard Hughes. This has been The Unexplained Online, and please, whatever you do, stay safe, stay calm, and above all, please stay in touch. And if it is before Christmas that you're hearing this, maybe, or around Christmas, then Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. But whenever you're hearing this, I send you my best wishes. Take care. Bye-bye.